Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your host from SteelersDepot.com, where you can find all your latest and greatest Steelers news. It's Dave Bryan and Alex Cazora, always Lynn, talking Steelers. And now, here's Dave and Alex.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, Season 14, Episode 101. He's Dave Bryan. I'm Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com. Thanks for being back with us here this Friday, Steelers Nation. Know this episode's coming out a bit later than usual. Dave and I wanted to wait until after the player introductions happen on Friday around noon. Russell Wilson, Patrick Queen, and Deshaun Elliott to see anything notable there and react to those introductions. So we'll talk about that for sure. Tons of news, including Elliott signing to Pittsburgh, which we did not talk about. That happened after our last podcast on Wednesday, and a bunch of other stuff. Dave, how you doing?
Ooh, manic Freaky Friday here. We got a lot to do to definitely discuss. Where would you like to start?
Well, let's start with the player introductions and the press conferences. Wilson and Queen and Elliott speaking to the media for the first time. Again, the Elliott news broke after our last podcast, so we'll kind of intertwine our thoughts on that signing overall. 2 years, $6 million, expected to be this team's starting strong safety. But I think, obviously, today the headline is Russell Wilson meeting with the media, first impressions in Pittsburgh. You know, not an earth-shattering press conference, said all the right things. This is old hat for him, speaking with the media, you know, getting interweaving himself within kind of the fabric of Pittsburgh. Talked about, you know, he talked to Kenny Pickett and punted every question about whether or not he'll start. But just big picture, what is your overall impression from that first presser from Russell Wilson?
Well, I think you hit on a main takeaway from it there. They tried to pin him down several different ways of what his role will be, and getting to say that he's been told he's the number one quarterback, mm-hmm. and he obviously didn't bite on any of that. So that's probably the way you would imagine he was prepped on all this. And look, he's a veteran of doing these kind of press conferences as well. So it's not really surprising the way that he went. Kept talking about competing, and he stayed far, far away from, you know, giving, you know, any, you know, he in so many, we framed this, right? We framed how they're going to frame it. They're going to try to frame this as a quarterback competition. And I think he did his best job of playing along with that during his press conference there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he, you know, and I believe the reporting, and I would believe anybody that told me that Pittsburgh has not outright said to Wilson, hey, you're our starter. I think they're going to, again, publicly and even privately frame it as a competition. Now, again, how much do you believe that? We'll talk about that throughout the offseason. I don't want to spend a terrible amount of time on that discussion today. But Wilson saying the right things, and for him, I mean, you could really see just the, in a sense, kind of full court press Pittsburgh put on to sign the guy, because there were options. The Giants, we know he visited them the day before he came to Pittsburgh. There probably would have been other opportunities, the Raiders, perhaps others. And, you know, he talked about that Cam Hayward FaceTimed him for an hour, and Omar Khan talked to him on Zoom for an hour and a half, and TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, you know, it's a full court press when Minka Fitzpatrick's talking to somebody, the usually quiet and reserved Minka, trying to get a guy to come here. And then went to dinner. This is now, I think, post-signing, but dinner last night with James Harrison and Charlie Batch, and just all the celebrities in Pittsburgh, I guess you could say. So really a full court press to get Wilson to come to the team.
Yeah, they did. They did it all they could do to court him through this process here. And man, even, you know, talking to TJ Watt, and once again, Wilson said all the right things about Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and how he should probably be a 3 or 4 time MVP. That's going to definitely endear him to the fan base immediately. And said that he's got a good relationship with Ben Roethlisberger, and that, you know, hasn't talked to him since signing, but thinks that he will. And he hit, I mean, it was a finely tuned instrument on his part of hitting all the checklist on how to endear yourself to the Steelers fan base. So, look, I mean, it is a pump them up. It is a hype type situation there. Nothing that he said overall, you know, should be or was it will be taken as surprising. But I once again, I think he hit the mark on hitting all the chords properly when it comes to a first introduction press conference, especially for somebody that plays such an important position like the quarterback position and coming into kind of, you know, you could call it a delicate situation. Obviously, former first round draft pick in Kenny Pickett there. So, I mean, I thought he handled himself really well.
If the quarterback thing doesn't work out, he can probably run for mayor. I think he's going to win at this point with the way, as you said, he kind of endeared himself to the fan base, said all the right things. To me, maybe the most tangible takeaway that you can glean from this press conference is not that it probably won't mean much to Pittsburgh, and it doesn't really mean anything right now, but Wilson said he wants to play 5 or 7 more years. Mm-hmm. He's 35 right now, it's saying potentially into his 40s. And so, you know, again, doesn't matter right now. We're all focused on 2024, but in terms of actual, to me, more concrete takeaways you can, you know, take away from this press conference, it was that.
Yeah, boy, and he's what, 35 now? How old is he?
Yeah, 35. I think somebody yelled at me for calling him 37 at some point on a podcast. I don't know when that was. I apologize, though, but he is 35 years old.
Right. 5 years. Boy, that puts him up into 40. Look, if you want him past, you know, you got to get past this year to get to next year. So we'll you know, the tape and the results will speak volumes there. But without a doubt, he doesn't sound like he's close to being done.
Right. And that's kind of the point that I'm trying to get at there. So interesting comment from Wilson. Anything else from his presser? Like you said, I mean, a lot of it was saying the right things, veteran of speaking with the media, besides him being kind of pressed about will he start, wasn't really grilled too much. Not that you would expect that in the opening press conference, but anything we're missing from Wilson that we should touch on?
Yeah, you know, obviously knows about Arthur Smith, hasn't really talked quote unquote ball with him yet, but I'm sure that will happen more in depth. Wants to score touchdowns. Hey, got to score more points, Alex.
There you go.
And but yeah, I don't think there's that much more in that presser that needs to, and we'll have plenty of time to dissect it even more and talk about early next week.
From Patrick Queen, the big takeaway I have from his press conference is he will keep his number 6, Pittsburgh. When you're the highest paid free agent in team history, you get to keep your number 6, is I think the way this thing's going. So the Steelers typically stingy when it comes to players wearing single digits who aren't quarterbacks, specialists in the traditional positions who wear them. Queen, though, who wore 6 in Baltimore, wore a single digit at LSU as number 8. Will wear number 6 in Pittsburgh. And I tweeted it out and people are losing their minds over that. It's like the biggest story of the day, but it is, it's notable for sure because Pittsburgh typically, I know Patrick Peterson last year wanted a single digit number. He didn't get it, but Queen will.
Yeah. I wonder if that was part of the negotiation.
Honestly, it probably was.
Let's say you guys aren't going to give me that guaranteed money past year one. How about coming off that number 6? You
know? Yeah, that's the number in the contract negotiation. That's the number to talk about.
I'm, of course, trying to make a funny there, but it is pretty significant. Look, I took away that this is a big deal. He's coming over from Baltimore, and he has no issue with being the villain on the other side now. And he came in to, you know, essentially be that guy there. And I think he looks forward to that and embracing everything that comes along with that. So that's another takeaway there.
You joke about it, but I bet you it was asked about before that contract got signed. Hey, can I keep my number? I mean, not that it probably was the sticking point, but I bet you it was asked at some point just to see because of Pittsburgh's history there. So notable nonetheless. They talked about Jalen Warren and how he hated playing against Jalen Warren, just a tough guy to bring down, how strong and just kind of low center of gravity. And so now teammates with Jalen Warren. I think as one reporter asked, the backs on backage drill between Queen and Warren should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he said something. He's got to keep his head up or something, not hit him in the chest or something something along those lines. So that's quite the praise for Jalen Warren there. So look, I mean, he's it looks like he's going to fit right into that locker room, and with all the defensive several other defensive leaders in there. So it shouldn't take him too long to assimilate and be the quarterback of that defense.
And then with Deshaun Elliott, we can kind of bridge this into the just general discussion about Elliott. Again, signing breaking, yesterday, I guess it was, 2 years, $6 million reported deal. It was with Miami last year, drafted by the Ravens in 2018, spent 4 years there, spent a year in Detroit as well. It's kind of bounced around on one-year contracts the last two seasons, now a two-year deal with the Steelers. You know, good press conference overall, talked about the culture of Pittsburgh and, you know, wanting to win and a place to win and all those kinds of things. So talk about Elliott's presser and then just kind of attached to that, just your thoughts on the signing of him overall.
Boy, he pointing right to that logo, saying that's part of the reason why. Made sure to endear himself to Mike Tomlin right off the bat and wish him a happy birthday today on that. Sounds like he's willing to play whatever role. He says really he hasn't talked too much about scheme fit because this all happened so quickly and just obviously getting into Pittsburgh there. And yeah, I think without a doubt, barring something else happening, it feels like that's going to be your strong safety, right? But he does at least have versatility. He has moved around some in previous secondaries. You go back to even early time in the NFL, played quite a bit, I think, in his rookie season on special teams even. So it looks like, you know, I know probably these sites were on probably a more notable, higher-priced kind of safety, I guess, if you will, but it looks like this is the guy that they had in mind.
Yeah, the way I would frame Elliott is that it's not a flashy signing. I was looking at some, as you said, kind of aiming higher safety names in a market that had a bunch of options, but a good signing and a good fit. They just needed, Dave, like two things: a guy that can play in the box a lot of the time, have the size and the frame and the tenacity and tackling to be trusted to do that. So Minka, who was in the box almost a quarter of the time last season, which is way too high. Usually he's around 5 to 7% box time, according to our charting. Last year, about 23.5%. I mean, he can do it, but it's not ideal for him or ideal for the team. So you need that. Elliott has that. And you just needed somebody who can be a three down, every down, all situations kind of player. And Elliott has been that as well, playing over 900 snaps, so, you know, 90% the last 2 years in Detroit. And last year with Miami, because last year, even before all the injuries and suspension kind of gutted the safety depth, Pittsburgh's plan was, okay, Minka at free safety, Edmonds is gone, we sign Keanu Neal, we have DeMonte Casey in our base 3-4, Neal will be the strong safety, and sub packages and nickel, Casey will come in and play safety. And that's one reason why Minka was playing in the box so much, because Casey, they don't see him as a, you know, play near the line of scrimmage box safety. But I didn't like, even in principle, this rotation at strong safety. I like one guy there that can play opposite of Minka in game chemistry, the way that Edmonds and Fitzpatrick had that. And you just kind of know who the guy is opposite you. And I think to get that in Elliott, just a solid, not flashy type of dude, but can play strong safety, play all the snaps, that's critical.
And plus, if you go back to that time in Baltimore, and remember us talking about it in podcasts with things that Baltimore used to do a good job of rotating their safeties at times. So even though he's primarily likely going to be a strong, once again, you can still have some fun with that in certain parts of your defense, certain down distances or whatnot, disguise some things. And even though I think most people would like to see less of Minka down low, I mean, you can still rotate him. You can still use Minka as a rob. You know, just give, he's not just a strong safety, is what I'm getting at. He does have at least a little bit of versatility that you can move him around a little bit too. And look, he is shown on tape that he's a willing tackler. He's got some interesting tackles on his film, specifically a collision with Derrick Henry, who's now within the division with the Ravens. You go back to kind of that touchdown saving tackle against the Cowboys. Even more recently, that hit on Patrick Mahomes in the playoff game, where it just cracked, you saw a piece of that helmet fly off there. Look, they need some physicality in this thing, and when it comes to this position overall. And I thought the comment that he said when he was asked basically if he embraces tackling, he says, "Of course. I mean, it's football. I feel like if you are scared of being physical, get off the field. They're trying to turn football into basketball on grass. We're not going to have that around here. I don't play I don't play those types of games. I really don't." And I think that's kind of, somebody sent me a clip that Patrick Patrick Queen said something kind of similar to that, the basketball on grass, when he was a member of the Ravens there. So you could tell there's some influence. And that's another thing. You got two guys that have played together before, you know, so they won't be totally foreign to each other. Right. When you talk about Elliott and Queen there. So once again, the sights were probably a lot higher. Deshaun Elliott kind of flew in under the radar there. But like you said, when you look at things of what you're looking for in this defense, specifically on a safety opposite Minka, he seems to check the boxes. And now we'll see how he looks in black and gold and able to pull that off.
As you said, he's not just a box safety. You can play the post with him. I mean, you can move him around, but you got younger. You got to be more athletic. I mean, is Elliott a hyper athlete? No, I think he's a pretty linear, straight line kind of guy, which again goes back to that, you know, kind of box, you know, down low type of ideal fit for him. But he is more athletic than, say, a Keanu Neal, and younger as well, and really cheap overall. So happy with the signing.
Yeah, very, very cheap overall. That first year cap hit should be under $3 million when it comes to him. So, we'll see how it plays out. But I mean, the tape, what I've gotten through so far, and I know we got a full film room up on him, looks like he's going to fit right in.
I think so. I think with the attitude and the play and the cost and everything, just made a lot of sense there. Speaking of signings, Pittsburgh has re-signed a couple of their own and lost a couple of their pending free agents now with new teams. We'll start with the former there. They have re-signed and brought back safety/special teamer Miles Killebrew, nose tackle Montrevious Adams, and long snapper Christian Kuntz. Kuntz signing a 3-year deal, was scheduled to be a restricted free agent. Pittsburgh did not tender him in order to do the 3-year deal, probably at a cheaper rate overall. Adams coming back on a 2-year deal, we believe at least, and probably influenced by Armand Watts, who left to go to New England, and then Killebrew coming back on a 2-year deal as well, coming off that all-pro season.
Well, look, it's no surprise that none of the four restricted free agents that the Steelers had, it's not a surprise that they didn't tender any of them, because the tender amount being well over, in fact, closer, I think, to $3 million than anything. And had you tendered Kuntz at that number, he would have instantly been the highest paid long snapper in the league. So it made sense not to tender him. It also made sense to turn around and sign him to a long-term deal. I don't think we have the numbers on that. I would speculate that his average yearly value is going to come in about, I don't know, 1.3 to 1.5 million, somewhere around in there. Obviously a real low cap number as a result of that. And probably a guy, even though it's a 3-year contract, that, you know, should he not have a great 2024, you can go another direction in. But at least you have your incumbent center, I mean, long snapper backup under contract there when it comes to him.
He might be your center with the way this thing's going. Don't rule it out.
Yeah, that's a heck of a segue. No, what else? Killebrew, look, if there was any one or two guys that you could see the Steelers making a serious attempt at re-signing as unrestricted types this offseason, Killebrew would have been on that list. Hell of a damn special teamer, been the special teams captain and all like that. So it made sense to get him back under contract with what seems like a really reasonable deal with him. So that was achieved there. And Montrevious Adams, I think you did kind of hit on it, man. Once Armand Watts went to, where did he go? The Patriots and signed the deal that he had. And you started to see these other defensive linemen that kind of fit what the Steelers look for, sign elsewhere and all like that. You kind of had your hands tied in that situation overall. Now, it's not a very expensive deal overall. It does give you depth, especially behind a guy like Keanu Benton. You obviously still got other guys under contract in Loudermilk. And, I mean, you know, hopefully DeMarvin Leal can become what they initially envisioned him and all like that. So it's not like you're breaking the bank on a guy like Montrevious Adams. You get a guy that, you know, familiar to you back in the room. So overall, you can see why that went that direction.
I can. I mean, I anticipated and kind of hoped that Watts would come back, and if Adams left, so be it. I mean, I'm fine with, you know, the Adams signing. It's not a lot of money. I mean, backup nose tackle, you needed somebody behind Benton, and he can, you know, play in some sub packages as well. I'm just not really sure what he's going to offer, really kind of thinking about it more. And like, I like Montrevious Adams. I think he's a hard worker. He's got a really hot motor. He's got a great first step. But in terms of the actual, how is that translating to production? His run defense is average, I would say. He can penetrate and get upfield and create some splash occasionally. He should be a better pass rusher than what he is in terms of production. His pressure rate's really low. He doesn't have a sack in Pittsburgh, 1.5 in his career. So, I mean, it's fine, obviously, but I, you know, to me, it's not really moving the needle on the depth Pittsburgh needs, especially at the tackle, the end, where they're really lacking right now.
Alex, we have some breaking news here.
Okay.
The Steelers are sending Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles in a pick swap.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, this is just coming. Let's see here, from Adam Schefter.
So all the 22 quarterbacks are being dealt. Well, I think it's safe to say Russell Wilson's starting. And it's saying, though, Schefter is the Pickett preferred to move on. And so I'm assuming he was asking for a trade based on the language of what Schefter said. Okay, well, just giant news, insane news breaking right now.
Wow, I don't...
clearly a real-time reaction you guys are getting here with this. I mean, like I said, when Wilson signed, yeah, the contract was light. To me, Wilson was going to start, and there really wasn't a discussion. I mean, they were going to frame it as competition, but it really was not going to be competition. I think Pickett's reading that as well. But Pittsburgh also being willing to do that. Again, they have the philosophy of volunteers, not hostages. If a guy wants out, he can go. But wow, we'll see compensation. Maybe fourth round picks. I don't know what they're going to swap. That's.
All right. So forget everything we said at the beginning. Well, almost. I mean, look, the writing at least has been on the wall that this really isn't going to be a competition, no matter how they frame it. And now there is no competition. We're back to one quarterback in the room now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they're gonna have to sign a veteran backup, you know, who that'll be. Mason Rudolph is now off the board. If anyone was wondering, he's in Tennessee, Easton Stick, again, the Tom Arth connection, but that is a minor footnote on this news, Kenny Pickett. And it sounds like Pickett wanted to leave, and Pittsburgh said yes. And so he will go back up. I guess that'll be Jalen Hurts there, because Mariota left Philadelphia, if I'm keeping my names right now. But that is the swiftness of it too. I mean, Wilson had just said he talked to Kenny Pickett, and sounded like they had a good conversation. But
ooh, I wonder what Pitt fans think about that now. At least he stays in the state, I guess.
Pittsburgh doesn't play the Eagles next year in 24, right?
Interesting.
Do they play the Eagles this year?
I'll have to look.
I'm always bad on.
No, right. Because remember, there's the whole Eagles in Brazil thing.
Oh, yeah. Right. So, yeah, they will play the Eagles this year. Right. We don't know, because they might play in that week one game. Probably won't, but they could.
And Kenny Pickett grew up an Eagles fan, too, didn't he?
He's from Jersey. So, yeah, I believe so. All right. Where do you want to go from here, Dave?
I wonder how people enjoy getting this in real time here. I'm kind of not expecting this on this Friday. I think the story here is that they've got three more quarterbacks to add to that room.
Yeah, and starting with a backup, I think you find a veteran there. When Wilson signed, I had the question of, and I was going to write the article, I probably still will, although it's a little bit different feel now, is, okay, Pittsburgh has their plan in 24. What's their plan for 25? I really don't know what it is. And now I definitely don't know what it's going to be. If Wilson plays well, he may come back. If not, though, then they're really starting truly over.
Well, you don't have to worry about the fifth year option decision now. That's one thing that you don't have to worry about. So here's another thing. Does this put quarterback in play in the draft for the Steelers?
Yeah, that's another great question. I'm sorry for this beeping in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear that on the podcast. It's our chat going off right now. I'm just reading from Rappaport. When the Steelers signed Russell Wilson, my understanding is they indicated he would be the starter rather than have a competition. That led to the trade. That's from Rappaport, which goes against some of the other reporting that's been out there.
We got the trade terms, it looks like.
Okay, hit me with the trade terms.
Here it says Steelers get pick number 98 and two 2025 seventh round picks. And the Eagles get quarterback Kenny Pickett and number 120, pick number 120.
Okay, so Pittsburgh will go up 32 spots and then get two seventh-round picks next year. Those are 2025 future picks from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. So a real where-were-you type of moment when Kenny Pickett got traded and Dave and I were recording the podcast. I'm glad we decided to hold off on the podcast. Otherwise, we would have to be an emergency edition coming right about now. So Rappaport is saying that Wilson was indicated that he would start. That's, again, reporting has differed, but I've maintained, as many others I think have as well, I believe you as well, Dave, that we felt like Wilson, it would take a lot for Wilson not to start the season. And even in the press conference today, when you hear players talk about, you know, Patrick Queen talks about, if Russ is Russ, this is a dangerous team. That's language that just kind of has the feel and the vibe of, okay, this is a Wilson-led team for 2024.
Yeah, and when you also talk about Easton Stick just agreed to terms with the Chargers. So
dang it. I was hoping I would call that one. Easton, Kenny Pickett got traded. Just delete the contract. I thought you were going to say Easton Stick was coming to Pittsburgh. But enough about my Easton Stick talk. I don't think anybody cares about
that. This is weird, man. This is. I'm trying to keep my train of thoughts on the podcast, and I'm trying to follow all this stuff on Twitter at the same time here. So, wow. And look, does this mean, you know, Omar Khan? It does mean Omar Khan separating himself from the Kevin Colbert pick now. You know,
I've had this thought, and I apologize because I got a lot of thoughts right now. I'm trying to do a lot of stuff here on the side.
And do the Steelers now trade? Do they trade for Justin Fields now?
I wanted to mention that conversation is going to start back up again, which, just why not? Let's just keep that conversation going the next 3 months. I had this thought as an article topic, and probably now is about the time to write about it, that in a sense,
this is just crazy. is not going to be I don't know. Let us know what you think about hearing all this in real time and kind of the raw, not that we're very rehearsed anyway, but what do you think about, let us know about all the rawness of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. I don't want to do this too often.
It's
going
to be a lot of ums and us.
Yes. Which I think just shows that, hey, like we're still fans of hearth in a sense of just reacting to news, and it isn't always analytical. It's certainly a part of that, and we have a job to do, but the team's doing a great job covering stuff. What are you going to say something?
No, I'm glad we got great people working for us on the site right now, or else we would be all over the place. We're still all over the place, yes, right now, but we got great people pumping this out on SteelersDepot.com.
My one major critique of Kevin Colbert, who I remember fondly and did net good for Pittsburgh, and I think is kind of being viewed at too negatively by the fan base overall based on how the last couple of years go. But the one real critique I had at the time, and I have still now, is that he should have not been the GM through the 2022 offseason and then stepped down post-draft in May of 2022. I don't think that's a good way to just do it in principle. At least the other teams that have had in-house and guys kind of stepped down, Baltimore, Green Bay, they didn't do it that way. They did it after, you know, the regular season essentially ended. And what I say that to say that I feel like Omar Khan is almost undoing the mistakes of that 2022 offseason, whether that was drafting Kenny Pickett, a draft class with DeMarvin Leal that probably won't have that for too much longer. What other moves did they make in 22? There were a couple other that I'm losing my mind on right now, but there are a couple other moves as well you're kind of seeing him make to kind of just undo that offseason.
Another question, I guess, do you bring in a guy like Ryan Tannehill now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, that was the guy. I mean, we're basically kind of back to the, had they not signed Russell Wilson, what quarterback would they have gone after? And we're kind of at square one in those conversations again. So Tannehill with the Arthur Smith connection makes a lot of sense. The Fields talk, I'm sure, will occur. Because we don't know where else he's going to go. And now Pittsburgh becomes a, you know, quote unquote logical landing spot from a national media perspective. I still don't know if it's going to be the case in Pittsburgh and what's his value and just all those factors. I don't want to belabor over and over for right now. But point is, Wilson will start in 2024. The backup, I think, will be a veteran of some type. And stay tuned.
All right.
Well, I don't know how the heck to go back to Deshaun Elliott from here, but
I don't know how we get back there either. Just to say, look, it looks like he's going to at least be a fit and kind of what they look for at that position. We'll have plenty more time to get deeper down into his tape and all like that. I thought he represented it once again. I thought he's another guy that represented himself real well. In they all did. And as to be expected, and does he have any history with Tomlin Elliott?
I don't know if they had pre-draft interest when he came out of Texas. I don't believe we had anything noted there. I mean, Elliott had talked about he had spoken with Tomlin as a Raven, you know, post game a couple times. So maybe there was a little bit of ties there, but I don't think anything other than that.
Look, props to the organization to recognizing that, and this is what we said going back to the decision or what I said on Russell Wilson. Look, at least they're doing something, you know, and mm-hmm. Russell Wilson is something. And now they're doing something else in getting rid of Kenny Pickett. So they don't have that part of the distraction now, because that we saw it in today's press conference, right? What were all the, you know, they wanted to try to pin Russell Wilson down. You can see that was going to come for the rest of the offseason. Every time Kenny got in front of the microphone, anytime Russell got in front of the microphone, and now you don't have to deal with any of that now.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to go back to the quarterback thing. I mean, the round one conversation, because again, who is you have no quarterback under contract for 2025 right now. Now right. They're going to sign somebody, and I imagine they're probably going to do at least a 2-year deal to have something there. Probably sure. Won't be a 1-year contract, but even, you know, assuming it's a Tannehill or some vet equivalent.
You can run around. I mean, you can get, you know, a couple of guys under 2-year deals here now if you wanted to, and then sure. Still address the position in a draft with a draft pick at some point. Do I think it's going to be the first round? No, but. Here we are talking about Kenny Pickett. I don't think you can rule out anything right now.
I mean, they're clearly in a win now mentality and with big holes at center and receiver. I mean, again, you just traded Deontay Johnson. Wilson needs some guys to throw to. I mean, so I think quarterback in the first round, it'll be talked about more. Will I think it'll actually happen? No, I don't think it will. But in terms of just the conversation, we're back to just where we were 2 weeks ago about just talking endlessly about quarterback possibilities, not for the starter, but just who are they going to sign and the Fields talk and all those kinds of things. So the dominoes that have fallen have risen back up and to be knocked down again.
Right. And if at least if you went out and got a guy like Justin Fields now, he would know he's coming in to be the backup behind Russell Wilson and could take a year to learn from him. You know, he's obviously got experience. Anyway, we're probably not done. Well, I know we're not done.
Yeah, we're not done
talking about the quarterback position.
Yeah. I think we were actually talking about Montrevious Adams before, which also doesn't feel like it.
Jerry Dulac says the Steelers made the move because of the way Pickett was poorly handling the arrival of Russell Wilson. According to sources, that came on the heels of Pickett's behavior last season when he reportedly refused to dress in the emergency third quarterback in Seattle. So, sounds like would make sense. Kenny not happy with the way things transpire and probably said, look, if you don't want me, trade me somewhere.
Yeah. And again, volunteers, not hostages. I mean, again, I made this point, not super a highbrow point, but once Wilson was acquired, it felt like the Kenny Pickett era was essentially closing up and just be done with it. Not even have the conversation, the thought. You know, you made the mistake as an organization, not on Khan. He wasn't in charge of that. I understand. But to move on quicker, you know, sooner than later, I think it's the right way to go about quarterback mistakes.
Well, when you roll back to Mike Tomlin saying, is the 2024 quarterback on this roster? No, he said yes, but no. I mean, they're all gone. They're all gone.
Yep, they are all gone. All right. That's my thoughts right now. we'll obviously talk about this more soon. Just to go through what we had scheduled today, and we'll kind of go through it quicker. But speaking of quarterbacks, we'll start there. Mason Rudolph signing a one-year deal with the Tennessee Titans to be what I'll call the backup to Will Levis. And people think he can start. I think it'll be Levis. You know, had Rudolph still been a free agent, had this trade happen 48 hours ago, you wonder how that conversation would have gone for Rudolph potentially coming back. But Rudolph will be in Tennessee.
Good for him. He might get some playing time over there.
And then, as you mentioned, Armand Watts going to New England, 1 year, $3 million. Not irreplaceable, but I would like to bring him back. So I think Pittsburgh D-line, a real need for the draft. I think they're going to have to probably look there. I struggle to find what defensive line free agent you can bring in right now to really give you quality depth. They probably will try to add somebody, but it's hard to find that name who fits.
Yeah, they dwindled down really, really quick there on the defensive line as far as a free agent. You know, there's still one or two out there, I think, that could probably be had on the cheap.
Honestly, they could bring back Chris Wormley, who got healthy and played for Carolina late last year, 1 year veteran minimum benefit contract, and just see how he looks. That wouldn't shock me, even though it doesn't get your D-line younger. At least it gets you a guy in the room that knows the room, knows the system, good technician. I could see that happening. I also mentioned Abdullah from Washington and Deshaun Hand from Miami could also be possibilities, I think.
All right.
All right.
What position? Do we have anything to add about any of the already signings in press conferences? Queen, Elliott, we covered. Russell Wilson, we covered. The trade has been officially completed for
Jackson.
Dante Jackson for Deontay Johnson. So that's I think. They're waiting for Jackson to probably come in and give his press conference.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure. Maybe they just won't do one. I don't know 100% because he did some of the quotes for the team site. I watched Jackson some more. I mean, I think Pittsburgh still lost his trade. They were kind of backed into this corner, having to move Deontay before the roster bonus. And I think, again, wide receiver value hurt by a really strong draft class overall. But I think Jackson can play as number two corner for at least a season. I mean, his tape is not. Because all I heard about Jackson was, oh, this guy's terrible and fans hate him. He's going to get cut here pretty soon if they don't trade him. I mean, to me, that tape didn't suggest the guy struggling that much. I mean, he's a smaller type. He's an outside guy. And Pittsburgh's been going for kind of bigger, longer corners. So kind of wonder how the scheme might fit a little bit. But I think he can, you know, be a solid zone cover corner with still good speed. And again, adding some speed and youth, not super youth defensively, but certainly still speed is something this defense, I think, needs across the board.
Yeah, and they definitely had to need it a position there. I think one of the things that stuck out is just the wherewithal on kind of the I think one of the highlights with him, I think, that stuck out is he does a good job of using the sideline as an extra defender. Is that one thing that you noted?
I don't know if I had that exact thought.
Brian Baldinger did a long breakdown a fairly good breakdown of him late last season. I think those were a couple of aspects of his game that stuck out with the examples there.
No, I trust Baldy. I mean, yeah, I thought, you know, his tape to me was serviceable across the board. I think he's a bit of a gambler. The eye discipline has to get better. There is some recovery speed at least. You know, tackling's been debated. His tackling numbers look pretty poor overall. I think there's some 1-2 he can set the edge in the run game. Not going to be this amazing, you know, tackler or anything, but there's 1-2 when he has to. I mean, it's probably how I would frame that. But yeah, just a number two corner who won't have to take number ones because Porter will do that for a season at least. I think Jackson can do that.
And look, there are still, you know, you've got Tredavious out there still, I think, unsigned. And who was the Pitt product, the Eagles corner?
Brandon Boykin.
No.
Right? Avonte Maddox. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm all over the place
Avonte
right now.
Avonte Maddox and all like that. So there are still several options out there that look at the deal Kendall Fuller signed and how people thought his market would probably be a little bit higher. So in other words, I won't be surprised if they still need to add to that room in free agency, probably with another corner if they can.
Yeah, again, slot corner is completely vacant right now, and outside corner depth is still weak. I mean, it's Jackson, it's Porter, and then really a lot of unknowns behind that. So Yeah, they will certainly continue to add.
All right. What else? Right. This team's addressed linebacker. They sort of addressed a defensive line. What about centers, man? Boy, the centers, they were already thin the last time we've talked, and they've gotten a lot thinner. And I don't know what they're going to do at center right now.
Yeah, again, I still maintain what I said before the new league year began and before the free agency period began. They're going to go low-level type center and then go draft one early. I think they want to draft somebody long-term. You know, you made the really good point, and this was off-air. We were just talking one day when Omar Khan had one of his interviews 2-3 weeks ago and talked about, you know, we're in the mission of finding the next great Steeler center, and how do they do that? That's through the draft. And so that was, to me, kind of a hint of we're drafting somebody. That's not a shocking revelation, but just right. To hear that, I think was actually pretty telling.
I think the problem now is who can you even get to at least moderately keep the seat warm?
I mean, there are names. I think Bradley Bozeman, who was released by Carolina, makes sense. Michael Dieter. I mean, you know, you can find a guy who's played a bit of center. Lucas Patrick in Chicago, not anybody top tier, but I mean, if they're just looking for that veteran type, they're out there, but nobody that you want to really start over the course of the 2024 season.
All right, so we'll see if they're able to add a center here. What are the positions we've been talking about?
I think wide receiver, they still add somebody.
Oh, yeah.
The Tyler Boyd stuff has really picked up, and I had the Pickett news not just kind of railroaded us. We'd be talking about probably Boyd a little bit more throughout this episode, but a lot of smoke, I guess you could say, about Boyd and rumors about the Chiefs. I think the Athletics reporting the Chiefs might be in the mix, and they signed Hollywood Brown. I don't know if that takes them out of the running altogether, but it may hurt their chances or increase Pittsburgh's odds. So hometown kid may want to come home to finish out his career.
Yeah, and it's it is there is a lot of, we talked about smoke the other day when we were recapping the trade of Deontay Johnson, and there does seem to be a lot of that smoke with Tyler Boyd right now. So it'll be interesting to see. They've got to add to that room before the draft.
I think they do
somehow, some way, and they will.
Yeah, but receiver has to be addressed highly with Wilson as your quarterback. You got to have weapons again. You can't have another season where your offseason saying, oh, or your offense is saying, oh, you're 23rd in scoring. It's got to be a year where you're at least average, I mean, which is such a poor goal to shoot for. But at least to become average feels like, you know, if you could just do that with a good defense, you know, you'll be back in the playoffs.
And the site just crashed.
No, did it really?
Yeah. All this traffic on here. Probably no hamster's gonna be able to keep up with that.
Yeah, apologize.
Hopefully it won't be down long if you got caught up in it there. Alex, what else do we need to get to? Because it feels like site just come back up. Feels like we need to be getting something else.
Get my head around this whole day, I guess, is where I'm at right now. Just other quick things. Aaron Donald retired. Congrats to him on a fantastic career. First ballot Hall of Famer, Penn Hills kid, Pitt product. That whole notion that he would come back home to Pittsburgh, I guess, for one more year with the Steelers, obviously not going to happen. Braden Fisk, defensive lineman from Florida State's coming in for a pre-draft visit. Interesting there. One of the top D linemen, but the lack of length, like 31 and a half inch arms, doesn't really seem to mesh with what Pittsburgh looks for, but they're obviously showing interest.
Boy, he's done everything he's needed to do in the pre-draft process except for get on a rack, right? And I mean, his tape is pretty fantastic. Maybe that's another surprise that Omar has for us this offseason. Throw out some of those. Look, how do they look on tape, man? You know, forget the yardstick, and we kind of saw that a little bit with Nick Herbig. You know, right. His ability overcoming the lack of measurables, and you know, maybe they're more open to looking at the tape more and a little less than measurables.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, who the heck knows? You know, again, it's not that anyone's going to call Fisk Aaron Donald, but Donald is kind of the poster child for somebody who was short and lacked length, and those were the knocks on him, and he overcame that. Now, again, not calling Fisk Donald, but there are outliers, and we'll see where it goes. So if you're on that pre-draft visit list, you're in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You can't be excluded regardless of historical measurables and what we think. If you're on that list, you're in that conversation.
All right. So what about the rest of the pro day, Tomlin and Khan? Where have they been, Alex?
They've been busy this week for sure. Georgia earlier this week and then Clemson yesterday. Now, they're typically at those places in general because they have good relationships and good ties. No schools always produce top prospects, so not shocking to see either there. Don't know what positional coaches were at those. I know Arthur Smith was at both pro days, the OC. Terrell Austin was also at Clemson. Don't know about Georgia. Don't think he was there. But yeah, the pro day tracker is updating daily.
Rook and Clemson might be an interesting prospect, even more interesting prospect now on a defensive line. If you want to talk about players specifically at Clemson there, he is a guy that we had circled that, you know, from even from a measurable standpoint, that could be a potential fit there. So I did not spot Carl Dunbar there, not saying he wasn't there, but Rook also did not go through the position drills at Clemson. So, you know, there was probably no reason for they might have known that. Maybe that's a reason if indeed Carl Dunbar didn't go, which we don't know for sure. All we know is the people that we spot and are reported.
Right, right. So would make sense there, but certainly a guy. What's the last name? Ohorahora, I think it is, or something like that. Maybe I'm totally butchering that, but that'll be a guy on day two.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think after the breaking news, probably want to get this podcast up, and so we can kind of start. I'll have a reaction video online or on the site, and probably time for us to wrap things up and just process this crazy news that just come across.
Yeah, this show didn't go as planned, but sometimes that's the beauty of it. Hopefully we got enough information across in the meantime, and who knows, maybe we'll record another one of these if it quiets down on Saturday or Sunday, Alex. So now obviously not going to got time to get to any emails because we got the site needs some attention and all like that. So in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot, follow Alex at Alex_Kazora, follow the show at Terrible Podcast, email the show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and want to donate, SteelersDepot.com. Donate button up a right navigational bar. Also, if you like an ad-free version of the site, SteelersDepot.com, hit the ad-free button. Thanks for bearing with us in this this show. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Alex.